art and science.
A radio show about the European Digital Art and Science Network. Hello and welcome to the Ars Radio, where we are presenting European Digital Art and Science Network. The main idea of this Ars Electronica's initiated network is to draw a bow between micro and microcosmos of science and digital arts. Seven artistic and cultural institutions, as well as leading scientific partner institutions, including CERN, ESO, ESA, and Fraunhofer MEVIS, have formed a transcontinental platform in which scientific and artistic issues, methods, and visions are interlinked. The catalog The Practice of Art and Science is offering exactly the insights into those scientific research practices in which artists and scientists have been involved. In today's edition of Ars Radio, we will hear an interview with Andreas Hirsch, who co-edited together with Gerfried Stoka in 2017 published catalog The Practice of Art and Science. Additionally to the interview with Hirsch, we will hear parts from discussion, from encounter to collaboration, a quantum shift in art and science, with Victoria Vesna from University of California from Los Angeles, from the Art C Center, and Yuri Krpan from Kapelica Gallery, based in the capital of Slovenia, Ljubljana. Microphone, Irneja Zavec. Andreas Hirsch is an art curator, writer, and artistic photographer. He has been involved in Ars Electronica for more than 20 years in different capacities as curator, as juror for Pre-Ars Electronica, as well as an artist. For starters, Andreas Hirsch elaborates his role in the European Digital Art and Science Network.
Well, this EU co-funded project of the European Digital Art and Science Network now comes to a close. And part of the project is to summarize the learnings from the project in a book publication. My role is, together with Gerfried Stocker, as a co-editor of that book. And I wrote a lengthy analysis on the project.
Can you tell us something more about the final findings which you mentioned, the outcome and feedback?
In fact, I've been speaking with all of the artists who were involved in this residency project and with representatives from the different scientific institutions, ranging from CERN in Switzerland, the particle accelerator, to the European Southern Observatory in Chile in the desert, or to the European Space Agency that covers all European endeavors to go to space. And with people from Fraunhofer MEVIS, a new partner in the project, who are specialized in software solutions for medical problems. Based on these conversations, it was interesting to find out that although at first glance you might think there's a big gap separating artists and scientists. There are certain gaps to be overcome, but there are astonishingly more common ground, more commonalities, more similarities between the two groups of people. The commonality at the core lies in the passion for what they do, and the passion for going to unknown, uncharted territory. This is what they actually share. Many artists I spoke with in the course of this project expressed how deeply impressed they were by the passion the scientists had for their subject of research. You have to consider that, for instance, astronomers and physicists going to Chile to make use of the Southern Observatory there, they are really looking for signs of extraterrestrial life, for instance. Yeah? They are really tackling fundamental questions of humankind. The same applies to the particle physicists working at CERN in Switzerland. They really go for the tiniest particles and their behavior. They go for proving or challenging the basic theories of quantum physics that really hold, if you may say it like that, hold the world together.
Did you have feeling while having these conversations that artists or artist collectives encounter some obstacles while being in residency?
Of course there are obstacles in the encounter of art and science, on both sides. Not all institutions are equally prepared to receive artists. This requires some institutional learning. Yeah. Those institutions who had already more experience with visiting artists were easier going, of course, with them. Another obstacle, in some cases, might lie in the fact that not every scientist is familiar with contemporary art, especially not with media art. So there's another gap looming, if you want, in terms of getting the scientists acquainted with the artistic language those artists are using. This is quite far from their personal lives and from their views, general views on art as such.
What is your personal position on art and science?
I think art and science somehow belong together. I would not go as far as saying they are two sides of the same coin, but they both belong to humankind striving for answers, looking for answers to existential questions. The methods may be different. The way the people work may be different. Systematic approaches versus more chaotic freestyle approaches to tackling questions. But essentially they belong together, and the split of art and science is more of an artificial thing from the, let's say, last 200, 250 years, when the sciences split up into several disciplines, which got ever more specialized, yeah, and even not able to communicate with the scientific colleagues from the next discipline in some cases, because of the specialized language. And, of course, art has changed in that quarter of a millennium. Art today is enclosed in a hermetic system of the art market, mostly, yeah, with its own rules of curators, galleries, collectors, museums, art critics, etc. We know how that system works. It applies a little less so to media art, and this may be an advantage in this type of encounters that we were looking at here. Media art still has its problems to be present on the art market. It is, as also Ars Electronica this year shows with a special exhibition, but still this is early days. And maybe this is an advantage because, yeah, media art has its own language. And there's always, in varying degrees, quite a number of technological issues involved. And the technological issues in some cases can also help casting a bridge to a dialogue with the scientists, or, not to forget, with the engineers at the scientific facilities. Some of the artists did not so much speak with the theoretical scientists they met, but with the engineers who keep the machines for the scientists running. Of course, we're talking big machines.
If we return to book, maybe your personal experiences with the book, because you were editing it and do the final work.
The experience in making the book, The Practice of Art and Science, for Ars Electronica was quite interesting, because with every conversation the picture got wider and richer. On the other hand, almost every conversation mirrored a number of key problems or key aspects of art and science encounters, and specifically of residences of artists at scientific institutions. So with every conversation, a certain pattern began to show. And this was the really interesting and impressive thing. The challenge of the book was to create something that, as we hope, is useful for the readers. For anyone who wishes either to apply for such a residency or from the side of an institution to open up to artists and invite them in, would find valuable information, inspiration, information about some mistakes that could easily be avoided, let's say, and helpful hints how to plan and to moderate this. It is important to plan such a thing, and it is important to spend enough thought on, let's say, the architecture, the architecture of this situation of encounter. You cannot just bring them together in the room and let it run. You need, for instance, to have the resources from the scientific institution for one person to follow the artists for the entire duration of the residency, to stay like a guardian angel, let's say, with them, helping them around, detecting problems, making things easier, and also evaluating what's going on.
So one could say that it's some kind of guide for artists and institutions.
We hope that the book will be useful for institutions as well as artists, in a very practical sense, and also inspire such projects, encourage others to do more projects along those lines or develop their own formats for it. Still, there is not one recipe for the cake. There's many aspects that you should look at, that you should consider, and that we have good working examples for in the book. But still, you have to find your own way. There's not one rule to guide it all.
I mean, the human factor, as you also mentioned earlier, plays an essential role in all these processes.
And also the artists have themselves different working styles, different working methods. Some came with a relatively predefined project, and then evaluated it in the dialogue and worked towards a goal. Some came completely open to the encounter and then saw what would develop. It is important also to mention here to avoid the temptation to expect a specific result. Somebody from CERN said, the results will get better if you do not expect specific results. This is contrary to how you would work in a scientific environment or in a business environment, where you have goals, targets, business planning, scientific planning. Not so here. Leave it open.
There are also interviews or parts from the 7 cultural institutions which were involved in this, in whole this art and science project, and also their experiences are interesting because they were also exhibiting some of artists' works.
It was part of the initial concept from the side of Ars Electronica, who started building this network of institutions, to have scientific institutions in the boat, so to say, as well as cultural partners, and Ars Electronica Future Lab. so to be able to cover the entire production chain of an artwork, digital artwork, and really be able to give support to the artists at all stages as far as they need it. So this meant the artists were selected, the artists went to the scientific institution, the artists came up with a project, the artists spent second part of their residency at Ars Electronica Future Lab here in Linz to realize the piece with the help of the specialists there, very experienced in such projects, and then have presentations presented to a well-informed and prepared audience at Ars Electronica exhibitions, for instance, as well as exhibitions at the wide network, the cultural network of Ars Electronica across Europe. So they also got coverage, they got feedback, they got reflection and discussion. What can you wish for more?
Just some days ago, we with a colleague, we interviewed Sara Petkus and Eva van Lindenthal, and they said exactly from their perspective as artists in residence, you should always ask. And which advice would you give?
If we're thinking about advice to artists coming to a residence in a scientific institution, be well prepared. Yeah, be informed about the type of research they do there. Be basically informed about the questions they are tackling. This need not be specific knowledge, but a basic information. In larger institutions, consider time to get yourself oriented. CERN, for instance, is so huge that it takes a certain amount of time just to get oriented. And then do everything you can to get the scientists interested in the conversation with you. This can be by the art you show them. Make yourselves tangible to them and your work. And also then ask interesting questions. Eva van Lindenthal, for instance, when coming to ESTEC, the technical facility of the European Space Agency, devised a number of, let's say, communicative formats to kind of moderate and inspire that conversation. She did little mini workshops with some of the scientists there, getting them out of this Q&A situation, creating a more open, more fluid, more engaging situation. This is not always possible, but it is an interesting example also for artists to follow.
For the conclusion, Andreas Hirsch stresses two important points.
I have 2 points. I think it is important to consider the role of cultural partners in this encounter, and also the role of curatorial work. You could say, why do artists and scientists, when they meet and when they successfully enter a dialogue, need a curator, third voice in the conversation? As it turns out, curatorial guidance at the different stages of such a project can be extremely helpful, facilitating the dialogue as well as then helping find the right setting for the presentation. My second point goes in a different direction. It's more general. The encounters of art and science, I feel, are very important, not only for artists, not only for the scientific community. They are important for mankind, which sounds a bit pathetic, but they are important for societies. The chances are good that out of developing conversations or collaborations of artists and scientists will flow new ways of finding solutions to humankind's problems. New solutions that become possible because artists helped scientists to look at problems differently. New solutions because the encounter with scientists allowed artists to make the art in a different way and communicate things that move them, that are important to them, in a different way. So I think there's an underlying, more general urgency to those encounters, and the more important it becomes, of course, to help make those encounters successful.
This was Andreas Hirsch, art curator, writer, and artistic photographer. He co-edited, together with Gerfried Stocker, in 2017 published catalog The Practice of Art and Science. The latter offers the insights into scientific research practices in which artists and scientists have been involved within the Ars Electronica's Art and Science project, called European Digital Art and Science Network. Within the this year's Ars Electronica Festival, the discussion From Encounter to Collaboration, A Quantum Shift in Art and Science, with Victoria Vesna and Yuri Kerpan, took place. In today's Ars Radio show, we will hear a few audio parts from this one. Victoria Vesna is an artist and professor at the University of California, Department of Design Media Arts, and director of the ArtC Center at the School of the Arts and California Nanosystems Institute. Yuri Kerpan is the art director of the Kapelica Gallery in Ljubljana, Slovenia. The Kapelica Gallery is also one of 7 European cultural partners in the European Digital Art and Science Network.
How we selected the juries, art and science collaborations, it's very intuitive, because you never know how the artists and scientists will go along. No, because there has to be a certain attraction between the two, or the institution, and you have to have something in your hand. But when you are trying to institutionalize the collaboration, you're always, you know, somehow pending. You don't know really whether it will work or not. It will be worth or not. No? And we are more or less guessing who would fit in what way into a scientific institution, when we are selecting artists visiting other institutions. However, the feeling that we got, at least in my case, you know, is we are having like 22 years of frustration behind us, you know, in trying to establish a fruitful collaboration with institutions, and it is not working. With us, it's not working. I don't know why. But then, why in a sudden we understood, you know, that we need to show our ambition. So the first, we set a lab. Said, okay, you don't want to open your doors, we'll make our own lab. I said, okay, do it. No? But then we start to do very interesting projects. So younger scientists, you know, start to raise the eyebrow and said, interesting, let's go and see. And we have a lab now with the biotechnologist employed there. So we have our science, you know, and there is completely different tactical attitude when we are approaching an institution, you know, with our biotechnologist. Then we have a person who is speaking the language, because there are so many prejudices, you know. I'm raising the telephone, okay, to set a meeting, and they expect that a curator with a painter will come, you know, and that we will make their corridors more beautiful and so. Or our main scientific institution has a long-term director, like since ever, who is in spare time a painter. And once I was invited there to make a talk, to do a talk on their annual gathering, which was named Art and Science New Renaissance. And when I saw Stelarc, Marcelli, Elsner, all those in robotics, exoskeletons, you know, the robots we are doing, biotechnology, they were so upset, you know, they didn't invite me on the final panel. I was sitting in the first row, you know. It was a scandal. Since then, and this is almost 10 years, you know, I'm not allowed to enter the place. So, you know, this is about tactics and about feeling.
It's such a complex thing. When you say art, it could be 5 million things. And when you say science, it could be 5 million things. It's really about what is it that you're seeking to find out and what and drives you with a passion. Because if you have that passion, you'll find a way, you'll build a bridge, you'll find the people, you'll climb through stuff, you'll do it. And that's what some people don't like to hear. I mean, it takes years to do a project. It took 10 years to get people to go, oh yeah, we're doing this. But to me, that's not a big deal because that's what I'm interested in, right? So unless, if it's kind of this institutionalized thing where artists are being put together with scientists and it's so artificial, it's possible 1 out of 10 will work out, right? But ultimately, it's chemistry. You're going to work with this person for a long time, so you better like that person, right? You want to hang out with them. You want to be just like in the Science Museum. You're in a coffee shop, you want to go in a bar, you want to hang out. Any kind of production, any kind of research, it takes a long time. And I mean, I feel sorry for the kind of bureaucracy you're talking about. It's like, oh my God. But I think it's maybe because you're actually looking at institutions for the answer, and that's just endless. In fact, I started the center specifically because I wanted to avoid that. I wanted to avoid curating by committee. I wanted to avoid faculty discussions around every single move. We're even self-funded, so we figured out a way where we're really small, we don't need much money, and we've self-fund. So I'm not always chasing funds because people come to us who have money, or they don't, doesn't matter, we do our stuff. So you know what I mean? It's looking at existing institutions is just so difficult.
These were Victoria Vesna and Yuri Krpan in a panel discussion From Encounter to Collaboration, A Quantum Shift in Art and Science. Victoria Vesna is an artist and professor at University of California, Department of Design, Media Arts, and director of the Artsy Center at the School of the Arts and California Nanosystems Institute. Yuri Krpan is the art director of the Kapelica Gallery in Ljubljana, Slovenia. The gallery is also one of 7 European cultural partners in the European Digital Art and Science Network. You have been listening to the Ars Radio on Radio Fro in Linz. We presented another part of the European Digital Art and Science Network. The main idea of this Ars Electronica's initiated network is to draw a bow between micro and microcosmos of science and digital arts. In the following radio show, you could hear an interview with Andreas Hirsch. He co-edited, together with Gerfried Stocker, in 2017 published catalog The Practice of Art and Science. Additionally to the interview with Hirsch, we heard parts from discussion From Encounter to Collaboration, A Quantum Shift in Art and Science, with Victoria Vesna from University of California from Los Angeles from the Artsy Center and Yuri Krpan from Kapelica Gallery from Slovenia. We played Muddy Wires, music with Creative Commons license. Microphone, Jernia Zavec. A radio show about the European Digital Art and Science Network.